welcome to another episode of the Elseworlds Exchange. I'm Sal.
And I'm Joel.
That's right, baby, we're back. And we are talking about pitches, one of a fan favorite theme or topic on this show, I think, is we're pitching stuff. We're taking ideas and money out of our own hands and giving it to you for nothing. But the reality is we were never being tapped or asked for these pitches anyway. So these are pitches for the world.
100% unsolicited.
Exactly. Unsolicited and unrequited. So here we go. We're pitching. There was this initiative a couple years back, Batman One Bad Day concept that I was very much of two minds about. I don't know about you, Joel. It was, you know, when they first announced it, I was obviously like, okay, One Bad Day. Obviously, it's a line from The Killing Joke. The concept is you're killing joking all these different Batman villains. I feel like that's kind of unnatural if you're forcing it. You know, you're saying like, hey, top creators of our field, Killing Joke, Mr. Freeze.
Yeah.
What does that even mean? You know,
exactly.
I'm very much a proponent of like, you know, I don't think that you can Dark Knight Returns-ify a lot of things because Dark Knight Returns is intrinsically Batman.
Right.
And yet they also did that with Ninja Turtles too much effect.
Nah, it's true. And, you know, and some of those One Bad Day stories, actually pretty goddamn solid. Some what the hell were you thinking? An embarrassment of riches because they got basically the top art and writing talent to do them. So, you know, obviously some magic was going to happen. My biggest problem with those One Bad Day stories where it's like, ooh, a lot of these needed more time to cook is what it is. Some of these were like half good ideas. So I have my own half good ideas.
That's great. Yeah. Hey, listen, well then it's in good company, let's say. But yeah, man, I completely agree. I do like a lot of the physical stuff around it. Like I love the idea of a one shot in the year 2022. I like the idea of a prestige bound book being out there under the Batman label. That's a great opportunity. It's a great option. I loved it. Giving some of these characters who would otherwise have to be subverted or modernized, you know, like I can imagine, oh, I got a good Two-Face story. Yeah. Okay. And it's going to be the sprawling, long-standing thing. Like it'll never last. And so it's like, oh, well, here's a Two-Face book.
Yeah.
It's just a done in one Two-Face book. You can be true to the character and just go for it. Ironically, I don't think I like the Two-Face one very much, but like some of these, yeah, they really lend themselves to like just do a treatise on the Riddler, you know, or Ra's al Ghul, and show us what makes them so enduring and fun.
Absolutely.
So we're doing a little bit of twist on that concept, Joel. This is an idea that you had when we were cooking up ideas, where it was what if they break good as opposed to breaking bad?
How about that?
Yeah, we did a one good day. I guess is the unofficial name of this initiative. What's the concept here? Is that the idea?
The idea is, you know, what if we found a way for these Batman villains who are always so endearing and so beloved to become the main characters and maybe do some good in their own story? What would need to be the parameters for that? And also, I was heavily inspired by everything that Harley Quinn and Poison Ivy are doing right now in their own series. I didn't give pitches for them to make them heroes because it's already been done.
It's already been done to death. We've seen it. Yeah, exactly. It's more like let's do something with characters that we haven't seen. Obviously, I mean, yeah, no. Poison Ivy makes a lot of sense. You know, like more now than ever. They've always like been teetering on the edge. I feel like the only, you know, I'm not reading the current Poison Ivy book that's out there.
I'm only hearing good things.
I know, and everyone loves it. It's just a very popular book. It went from, I think, like a mini to an ongoing,
which is crazy
to think about, and a good indication that the book is selling. You know, otherwise, I don't think that the book would be where it is today. So
also, it's G. Will Wilson, who I'm a massive fan of anyway, and I haven't read her stuff since Ms. Marvel. So,
oh wow, yeah, you got to be reading stuff, man. Are you reading Hunger in the Dusk?
Is it good? Should I check
it's
that
good.
Out?
I think you'd love it. It's very all much right. up that alley. It's really, really good stuff. That's a great book. Looks amazing. But the art or the writing is also just top notch. It's fun. It really plays to her strengths because she's a fantasy fan. She's a WoW player. So she's like, she infuses that into her greater fantasy
soul.
World. But, yeah. So, do you want to approach that? How do you what were your criteria? How did you come up with these? Like, did you go like, all right, let's just go look at One Bad Day, all those books and just reflect them? Or was it like, Just whoever came to mind.
I tried to reflect the One Bad Day line of characters, though I also added some ones who weren't in there. Obviously, I had to put Joker in there. Joker didn't have a One Bad Day story because he was kind of the impetus behind the whole thing. Yeah, he already had it. But I figured, you know what? I actually have a great Joker pitch, and it's a pitch you and I worked on together way back in our How Do We Kill the Joker series. And I'm like, that's perfect. That's how you make Joker a main character and you make him a protagonist. It was our idea to send him to Apocalypse.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Wow. What a fun concept. They still haven't done.
No, they haven't. Yeah, Batman.
To Apocalypse.
Yeah, Batman and the Justice League, they're finally sick of Joker's shit. They know Arkham Asylum can never hold him. They know he's only going to kill people. So they're like, all right, we're launching you to Apocalypse, the worst place on Earth. Fight it out with the other bad guys. We don't give a shit. And of course, because Joker is so crazy, he finds the silver lining in this. Like, oh, this place is so dark and dour. And oh, Darkseid, you're a lot like my Batman. You're my new special project.
Yeah, the idea of essentially Planet Hulking the Joker is a pretty fun concept. I love the idea of him being like, no, Darkseid is my new Batman.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just gonna make things difficult for him. What is it? And it's like, okay, so if the Joker's Batman is essentially the cosmic devil,
yeah,
what are you doing? You know what I mean? Like, that's
it. It also so beautifully puts together because it's Joker's chaotic evil versus Darkseid's ultimate lawful evil. So of course they're going to clash with each other because they're two completely different schools of villainy. And I just love the idea that eventually Darkseid would be driven so to the edge by the Joker, who would of course lead a parademon rebellion. It's like, oh, my new Harley now. And he just starts painting parademons up.
Yeah.
To overthrow Darkseid, that Darkseid actually ends up maybe calling High Father and the New Gods for help. Like, I want a treaty. I want to make peace.
Right. Get this clown off my planet.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of love that. That's fun. That's fun. It's funny. Since then, I was reminded of a book, apparently, which was Salvation Run, JLA Salvation yes. Run, which has a bunch of rogues doing
by
that.
By the Fables guy, actually.
Yeah. Is that Bill Willingham?
Yeah, fucking Bill Willingham for a very short amount of time when he wrote DC books, which is wild to think.
The JLA run has a lot of, like, it's funny, everybody is just like, oh yeah, Grant Morrison did an amazing job with JLA. Like, in between, there were a lot of other people on that run where it's like, oh yeah, remember, like, during the period where everyone talks about Grant Morrison's Justice League, don't forget Mark Waid wrote Tower of Babel. You know, like, there was a lot of that going on. But this one isolates. It's a Joker story. It's centralized around that. That's a fantastic Black Label book. Or even if you want to make it in continuity or whatever, it's a book. That's a book.
You could. And it solves a problem, too, that so many other Joker stories have, where it's like, how do you make someone so vile and repugnant the main character? Well, you set him up against another equally evil thing. So if Joker starts, you know, like torturing freaking Vermin Vunderbar and everything, or he like drops some dynamite down the pants of Granny Goodness, it's like, yeah, well, they were monsters, so it's okay.
It's true. Yeah, you don't necessarily it softens the Joker without actually rubbing any of the edges off.
Yeah, where all these other Joker stories, like Joker's had two ongoing series now, but they weren't really about him, though.
No, and all the better for it. I don't want to read a book about Joker. This makes me actually want to read a book about Joker. If you're telling me like, oh no, a Joker book that's actually secretly a Jim Gordon book.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on board for that. I love Jim Gordon.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah. And if that's the only way we can sell it, I guess I understand. I should mention that this show is sponsored by viewers like you. If you have a question or comment or you want to add your own two cents, you can do so by using Super Chats. Ask a question or comment. We'll read it here on the show. Like Extra Medium, who gave an incredibly generous Super Chat. He did the Red Band Super Chat. Thank you so much, Extra Medium. Croc was a major figure dealing with Gotham's latest crisis. He uses his current celebrity to get on the ballot, which claims that he'll clean up the worst part of Gotham. It's Gotham Central meets Savage Dragon. I call it Killer Croc, Sheriff of the Narrows.
Oh, wow. I didn't actually have anything for Killer Croc because he didn't have a One Bad Day pitch, but that's genius. Croc decides he wants to be Sheriff of Gotham, and he runs for politics on I understand because I'm from where you people are. You know, I'm not one of those beautiful people.
Exactly. I know what the ugly side of Gotham looks like, and I'll take a bite out of crime.
Oh my god, that is good. And then you have like a bunch of other villains being like, can you believe he became a cop?
Oh my god,
Cop the Croc after all that.
Yeah, Cop the Croc. I kind of love it, you know. you have people running against him. Maybe you have like Bullock is like, nope. And he runs as Sheriff. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so it's kind of like this, you're like, oh no, like I'm torn. I want to see Bullock. I want to see Croc. I want to see how this goes, but Croc is genuine in his meaning, or maybe he isn't, who knows? But like,
this is true. Yeah, because like, man, talk about another character who they've also tried to soften and turn into a good guy several times, but it's just never taken for whatever reason. Because like at the end of the day, Waylon Jones is just a guy with a skin problem who looks like a monster and who society treats like a monster. And also, hey, because under the scales, he's also a black man, which I feel is often forgotten many a time. So that's like, oh yeah, art often sometimes, you know, beastifies and animalifies black men in media and everything. And like, goddamn, there's something there. Hey, Christopher Priest, how have you not written a Croc story?
That's true. That's true. It's funny. I was reticent to do a Croc story because for me, I was like, well, Croc is essentially not a bad guy in Earth One.
Yeah.
Batman Earth One Volume 2 and 3, he's a member of the Bat family at that point. Like, which by the way also doesn't really contradict anything that we know about Croc. I love the idea that, like, we still get the beautiful Gary Frank visuals of Croc like jumping out and biting Batman, but it's mostly because he's like, what are you doing down here? You're here to kill me? Like, you know, it's self-defense. But I love that.
That's really solid, actually. Damn, that is much better than anything I would have written for Croc. That's really good, actually.
Seriously, no, well done, sir, and thank you very much for your generosity. Mm-hmm. Somebody asked if, like, wouldn't Darkseid just kill the Joker before he had a chance to do anything? Well, the thing is, since you're writing it, no.
Yeah, but that is true. Yeah, why wouldn't you? But probably because Darkseid just wouldn't respect the Joker. No, it's like, you're not even worth getting Omega sanctioned.
Exactly. I mean, I can imagine Joker not even really registering on Darkseid's radar until
it's too late.
It's too late. Even then, you know, like, you know, I just, part of the argument about any idea is that I'm writing it so that wouldn't happen.
Also, I mean, you know, if Batman can fight Darkseid for as long as he has, the Joker can too.
Exactly. There's all kinds of explanations. Yes, shouldn't Darkseid just, I don't know, build a complicated new Genesisian machine that amplifies his Omega beams to blow up planets?
True. Also, could you maybe argue that if he tried to Omega sanction the Joker, it wouldn't work on him? Or he would do the whole, oh, I lived alternate lives and alternate times in record time, because I've only ever been the Joker, I've only ever been me.
Yeah, no, I would love to see him get Omega sanction only to have him come right back out the other side and being like, okay, what else you got? Like, you know.
Doesn't work on me. I don't have all the same issues Batman does.
Right. People would be mad because they're like, oh, so Joker's a god. He can withstand the Omega sanction. I say to you, if that's your argument, if Grant Morrison did it 30 years ago, you would have called it amazing.
You would have creamed your jeans and said it was amazing.
Catler of the Pen for Treats. For Joel, Bane falls in love with the art of wrestling. Well, Catler, you should read Bane One Bad Day, because
which was my favorite one.
Story about Bane is essentially that he is a wrestler.
And he's recreating his famous fights with Batman for, you know, dwindling audiences in his old age, reliving the glory days that he has long since left behind.
It's a pretty solid pitch for Bane. I mean, at that point, like, Bane's never had a bigger, better story than his first.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which Vengeance of the Bane is essentially Bane One Bad Day, but like, you are, I lump that in with all of Nightfall.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But I do like the idea of Bane getting a one bad day. Though, again, Bane has had a couple of redemptions in his time.
Indeed. Secret Six, the times he joined forces with Batman when they thought they were siblings ever so briefly. In fact, hey, that's kind of what I build my Bane One Good Day pitch around. And that is, he discovers, oh, King Snake had a lot of other illegitimate children all over the world. Now some evil villain or force is knocking them off. I have to go around the world to protect my siblings. And in doing so, realize I had a bigger family than I ever had.
Exactly. Yeah. The family of Bane, or yeah, exactly. But it's still Bane One Good Day. But yeah, I love the idea of Bane, like, going away and going on like a pilgrimage that unites a Bane family and makes a whole, like, coterie of Bane's.
And his family's doing interesting things too, like, oh, you know, I went to South Africa where it turns out I had a half-sister. You know, I went to the mountains of Shanghai where I had a brother I didn't know about. And they're all, like, very different, but they all, like, are going through similar things that Bane went to. And it's like, you know, I am able to get them out of their prisons, you know, the way that no one ever could for me. You know, I lived my life without a mother and a father. Now I am father to all
of these children. Exactly. I'm the patriarch of the Bane family. family. Yeah, exactly. No,
be the change you want to see in the world, Bane.
That's not just a good prestige one shot. That is a status quo for Bane that, like, because all you got to do, if you ever want to make Bane Batman's villain again, he just falls off the wagon.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you got other Banes coming in being like, oh no, hell, maybe half the Bane family gets all hooked up on Venom to help him out. And you get a bunch of Banes in Bane masks. Oh, and another half joins the Bat family or helps them out to fight the other Banes. You know, you could do all kinds of stuff with that where it sets up Bane and then projects Bane further into the next 10 years.
Yeah. Really, again, you're so right. Absolutely zero in on the whole drug addiction aspect of where it's like, yeah, I was clean for years and then I relapsed. Something happened to me. And I fell off the wagon, and we tell like a really serious story about relapsing. Like, yeah, you know, when you're an addict, you're only ever in recovery, man.
Exactly. Azorman says, I still think about Detective Nigma. Have him just do Sherlock style stories of hunting serial killers or goofy crime rings with his own style.
Such a good status quo that they killed way too early.
I completely agree. I feel like the best way to do it, I mean, like in my opinion, with respect to the Riddler, the only way that you could really maintain the Riddler while also making him break good is if you make him superior Batman. He is like, because Riddler's motivations are to best and outsmart Batman. If he goes off and becomes the Riddler of his own city, or, you know, or just gets a job at Wacko Toys and does what he wants, you know, the fun is gone, the challenge is gone, and the Batman, rivalry doesn't exist. In this, it's like, no, Batman is Gotham's detective. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm better.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to prove it by being, you know, not Batman necessarily. He could go Batman with it. He's like, you know, Batman is literally me if I hit the gym.
Yeah, basically.
Right, which would be Riddler's misunderstanding. So Riddler's like, all right, so I'll hit the gym, you know, and I'll become the superior Batman. Obviously, it would be a new name.
I'll start taking Venom.
He did take Venom. Like, he was injected with Venom by Bane as a, like, obstacle for Batman to overcome. Maybe Riddler's always been taking Venom. Maybe Riddler never got off the wagon when it came to, or fell off the wagon. I don't recall. Either way, maybe he never shook that monkey off his back.
Well, I mean, if we're doing Sherlock, I mean, Sherlock liked to take a lot of recreational drugs. So yeah, maybe he's just doing little key bumps of Venom every
That's
so
it.
Often.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And so he's just, you know, just enough. I'm not big, I'm not huge, but I'm.
I need to keep up with these, you know, shaved apes.
Yes. And then you could go either way. You could go, he dons a bat style costume, or he just goes Riddler. It's just, he's Riddler. He's like, no, I'm bright and colorful and I kick ass.
Absolutely. I did have a Riddler pitch. I actually went a completely other different direction to humanize him. My pitch for Riddler, turn his story into a buddy cop story. The idea is that there is a terrorist out there calling themselves the Sphinx. Get it? Riddler of the Sphinx, you know, Riddle of the Sphinx, the oldest riddle known to mankind. They're doing these big international bombings all over the world, and Argus figures, well, damn, the only way we're going to be able to defeat a riddle-themed criminal is to get our own riddle-themed criminal. So they get Nigma out of jail, and they team him with Steve Trevor. So we have Mr. Lovable Himbo, Steve Trevor, who is beloved by every woman everywhere, even though he's never been shown to be that intelligent, teamed up with Riddler, the smartest man in the world, and he fucking hates it. And they have this real buddy cop dynamic where they try and stop the Sphinx. And Riddler is really interested in doing this because he's like, yes, if I do this, then I'll show I'm smarter than Batman because I'm solving a case Batman couldn't say, solve, you know, and I'll be useful to the government. And, oh, I'm actually enjoying people celebrating me for my smartness and everything. And of course, we find it at the end. Hey, Sphinx is actually a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sphinx is a woman with a crush on the Riddler who is doing all of this to get his attention. And so Nigma has a moment of like, ooh, do I join forces with her or do I join forces with my new bro, Steve, who has opened up my heart and mind and being like, you know what? I like you even though you're not as smart as me because you're so dumb. You almost create like a Morty, Rick and Morty field.
Yeah.
To us. You're so dumb. I kind of can't help but love you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I could easily view a sequence in which Steve Trevor is kicking the crap out of a couple of flunkies while Riddler's just like checking his nails. Like,
no, absolutely.
I don't do that. I don't get my hands dirty on that.
So they're the ultimate brain and brawn team is what they are. A thousand years, Steve and Eddie. A thousand years.
Steve and Eddie.
Adventures.
Uncanny Human Torch. Mr. Freeze saves Gotham from a massive heat wave. I mean,
right.
This is just a Batman story. I mean, Mr. Freeze is always just one good day away from becoming an anti-hero or a hero. I mean, like, the only, you know, I think that's why they kind of, like, messed him up in the New 52 by being like, no, he is not sympathetic.
He's too sympathetic.
Yeah, he's too sympathetic. It's always sad when he's there because, you know, he kind of almost doesn't deserve it. But now let's make it deserve it. He's a creep, too. And it's like,
yeah, we really want to keep telling Mr. Freeze stories, but we can't when he's this sympathetic. And when Batman doesn't straight up just help him, Batman starts to look like the asshole.
It's funny. It reminded me of the episode of the Batman Animated Series in which, God, what was it? In which Matt Hagen gets like helped by a like super fan and they steal a bunch of chemicals and like they're going to make him human again. And then Batman is like, boo. He's like, oh no, I figured it out. And I'm like, make him human and then just arrest the man. He's a guy.
He won't be a criminal anymore. After
why are
that?
You fighting him? You almost suffocated, you idiot. What's the matter with you? Like, yeah, it's just it. Batman makes all kinds of stupid decisions.
My way or no way, asshole.
Yeah, exactly. Like, dude, come on. He was almost ready. Like, he wouldn't be a problem anymore. Hulkzilla says, at work right now, but wanted to give you guys a great weekend. And as always, always enjoyed the Wolverine Predator episode. Take care. You too, Hulkzilla. Thanks for being here, man.
Hey. Really,
and we'll see you on the repeat. George J. The Ventriloquist develops a heroic personality with a different puppet.
Oh, yeah. How have they ever done that before? And the puppet is a superhero, of course.
Oh, yeah. Honestly, I mean, like, you could go crappy Bendis Moon Knight with it, where he's like, no, I have puppets of Superman and Batman and Wonder Woman. Oh. And like, so he's like, no, I do. Like, oh, this situation requires someone with a brain, so I'll be Batman. And like, you know, this one requires like speed, so I'm the Flash now. Like, you could do that. You could do a 3-issue arc with that. The problem with Ventriloquist, I'm not saying that that's not a good idea. That's one prestige bound story. Ventriloquist One Good Day is the Ventriloquist doesn't sell very well.
No, which is a shame because he is such a cool image.
Yeah, but I do love that idea. And I'm like, no, I would greenlight that idea. I'd be like, yeah, no. Ventriloquist. E-Man Harley returns to Arkham as a staff member and rehabilitates the inmates.
Shocked they haven't tried that. That feels like a solo Harley pitch. At one point, her getting her old job back via some Wayne Foundation grant. So she's still Harley, but she's Harley the psychiatrist helping people.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I like that idea. I feel like you could go more superhero with it. Like, I mean, honestly, I'm surprised that she wasn't working for Sanctuary in Heroes in Crisis.
That probably would have been a good pitch, right? Because you would know better than most people what it is to redeem yourself, what it is to have these demons. And also, you, like, actually went to school for this.
Yeah, like, maybe you were a consult on it, but instead she's the villain slash hero of that book.
Slash Heroes in Crisis. It really does, which, man, I am so stoked that Green Arrow is bringing it back. Holy shit.
Yeah, no, I know. I was like, there were a lot of like surprises in that Green Arrow book where I'm like, yes, bringing back the hacker group Cyber Rats and also doing Heroes in Crisis. I'm like, oh, my God.
Joshua Williamson, you absolute mad lad. You, if anyone could fix it, it would be you, because technically you already fixed it with your Flash book. You'd be like, no, Reverse Flash did everything.
Yep. Thank you.
That was all him. And also he was the reason Damien was keeping people in an unfair gulag prison. That was also him as well. You know, while I'm fixing shit, I might as well throw some more shit on Reverse Flash's plate while I'm at it.
Why not? The derpy is the derps. Hey guys, I love these pitch episodes. Well, thank you very much. Will you ever do a sequel to the one you did on making a DC theme park? No.
I don't think that one did good. I think that was a one hit wonder. Not even
that was. That was a one hit. And by hit, I mean a dud. But we did it. I feel like we were good on rides.
I think we nailed it on our first try.
Exactly. I agree.
Not to toot our own horns too hard.
Yeah, no, we did nail it, though. Jace Jensen, Killer Moth, to me, is one character that could easily be redeemed, have him find the light in people and want to protect it. Killer Moth is a great look. I always liked the way he looks. He's a fun character to draw.
He's such a tough nut to crack. Like, what is his story? What is his internal life?
I will admit he is a bit of a blind spot for me. I've read his like first story. I've seen him set against Batgirl, but like, I don't really know much about him. I know.
Yeah.
I associate him with being like kind of a raving lunatic. So like, I don't know. but I don't have anything for Killer Moth, just because I don't know what the pathos is. Like, what is he about?
Likewise with Firefly, he's just a pyromaniac. He's just an asshole.
Firefly is such a lazy character. Like, in the pantheon of Batman villains, you know, like, one that sets fires and, like, is dressed like a bug. I'm just like...
It's why even all these years later, my favorite Firefly story is a pretty imperfect Batman the Animated Series episode, Torch Song, because they make him a creepy stalker in that, where it's like, oh, yeah, you know, you're the light that I follow in this bug thing. I'm a weird guy. And even then, they kind of fuck up that episode by the end, because it's like, well, he's just a stalker. Either he kills the woman or he doesn't, and this is still a Saturday morning cartoon, so we can't do that. So what do we do? I don't know. He tries to burn down the city with experimental gel. Well, how the hell does that work? He wasn't that sort of villain a minute ago.
No, but yeah. Well, we just realized that at the end, or standards and practices changed it at the last second, so we had to just pull a hat trick. Oh, he has a gel. Yeah, Firefly, man. He's a bookend character. When they used him in Nightfall, and he's like, no, my sister and I were never adopted, and every time that a foster family was going to, like, take care of us, they told us about the places they were going to take us because we were children, and then they never did, so I'm going to burn those places down. I'm like, shut up. Go away.
It's such a stretch.
Yeah. Jose, Bane stops using Venom and uses his genius intellect to make Santa Prisa a new international power nation.
Ooh.
I mean, he already pretty much has done all those things except for
El Presidente Bane.
Presidente Bane is the book. That's a good one.
And the cover for issue one is just him as Che Guevara.
Oh my God. Yeah, these are great. These are all great. I had a vision of him like on a throne with like a flag of his logo, you know.
That's good too. I like that.
But yeah,
as well.
Either way, I mean, like, listen, that's a Presidente Bane is the book. That's a book. That's not even, I'm not even going to like put that in our category. That is a thing they should do with Bane.
And he has many sweeping socialist reforms that pisses off the likes of Amanda Waller and such.
And he teams up with Black Adam, obviously. Not like he teams up with him like they fight together, but like, no. Like now
a new Axis.
Like, an Axis, yes. Then we get another character to take over Corto Maltese, get that island nation involved.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, now we start creating like a thing. Like there's actually like tumult in the region.
Absolutely. Get like one of those rogue Atlantean states. What's the one with the redheaded people? Zabel?
I don't recall, but I do like that idea. Yeah, yeah. Like now there's a power structure and struggle in the DC universe.
Yeah,
I love that.
The independent protectorate of Zabel. And yeah, they're going to the UN and they're throwing their dicks around and everything.
Oh, totally. Oh, yeah, no. They're making a mockery of the entire process. Raidu, thanks for your generosity, says, Ra's al Ghul, a different take on the Batman Beyond story. Bruce has died and has some time ago, and Ra's over time realizes Gotham needs a Batman and ends up being a mentor figure for Terry. That'd be fun. I had a very loose pitch similar to that, which is just like Ra's al Ghul actually learns a lesson from his time on Earth. And it's like, you know, he kills Batman. And then he realizes like, oh, Batman was actually responsible for a lot of like support and good in the world. And now I need to put more of that out there. And so he like uses the League of Shadows, obviously, as some kind of like similar to like how Daredevil used the hand or tried to.
There's something like there.
Yeah, like League of Shadows being like a force for good, but like the
maybe Damian is Batman by this point.
Oh, definitely. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And then Ra's al Ghul like maybe learns the wrong lesson, but is like no. And then we sons of Batman it. The League of Shadows becomes the League of Bat or the Shadow of the Bat. There we go.
Ooh.
And you know, they just do all kinds of bat shit. And Damian's like, I either have to kill Ra's and take it, or I gotta fight him forever.
Yeah, so what am I gonna do here?
Which still isn't really a Ra's al Ghul is a bad guy or is a good guy story, but you know.
The thing about Ra's al Ghul is that even when he tries to do good, he ends up doing bad, because his whole modus operandi is I want to save the world from ecological disaster, but I can't do that without killing half the population.
Right. Plus I'm an egomaniac.
It's just the easiest way to get to what I want, you see.
Right, exactly. So what other villains did you want to break good? I feel like there's got to be a Penguin in there somewhere.
There is. I actually wrote this long before the Tom King thing was even announced, so it's funny how this was similar, but not really. Again, because I made Riddler the spy. Penguin, this was obvious to me, you know. You got to set Penguin up against someone who's more wicked than him. He's a pretty simplistic Batman villain in that he only wants money and respect.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, not a lot of stuff to make good there. My idea is that eventually Blackgate Penitentiary and Batman finally gets sick of Penguin. They're like, look, every time we send him to this prison, it never friggin' works, is what it does. He just ends up breaking out. He holds court. He runs the whole prison in a matter of days. So guess what? You don't get to go to your cushy Blackgate penitentiary cell. We're sending you to Bell Rev, Penguin. You get to go to real fucking hard prison with Amanda Waller, and you make it a whole story about Penguin being like, ah, yes, I'm sure I'll be recruited for the Suicide Squad any day now because I have such an inflated sense of ego. And Amanda Waller being like, what the fuck do you bring besides umbrellas and snootiness? You're not on my goddamn Suicide Squad. I refuse.
Right. Yeah, so I instead, can see. Yeah.
So instead she has him out like breaking rocks in the field and everything and doing like hard labor.
Totally. I love that. I had this idea of like just her being him orchestrating like a prison break just so he could have a one-on-one session with Amanda Waller being like, what is taking so long?
Yeah, that's what it is. It's Penguin by way of Oz is what it is. And he ends up recruiting his own Penguin squad of villains who Waller thought was too lame to ever join her team. And so it's kind of like, you know, how do we gain power in the prison? How do we become top dogs? And how do we eventually stick it to that damn warden, Amanda Waller? So it would be a prison book is what it is. It would be Penguin in prison would be the whole book.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. Yeah, that's fun. That's actually that's a Penguin book that justifies itself, similar to the one that actually exists now. In terms of like there being a Penguin book on the stand that justifies its own existence somehow.
Right.
The derpiest of derps. Here's my goofy pitch that there's a food chain in Gotham running all the family businesses out of town, so Condiment King has to save them. That's a backup by
that's a solid backup
by like Belen Ortega drawing it. Like from the backups in Wonder Woman. Yeah, that'd be a lot of fun.
And you give him like really dark neo-noir friggin' like internal monologue. Like he's taking it 100% seriously. Like, yes. The beef of Gotham has soured and now it is up to me to clean out the kitchen. Only the Condiment King can cut the mustard.
That actually, I'd be like, all right, Tom, I'm going to need you to write a Condiment King story that is similar
just Elmer
to like
Fudd.
The Elmer Fudd book, yeah. George J., imagine a future Robin was a child of one of the Gotham's major crime families, like the Falcones. We already have that.
It's called
the Huntress. Huntress is the daughter of the Bertinelli crime family, but a Robin would be cool. Or just making Huntress into a member of the Bat family officially would be nice.
Rupert Thorne Jr. ends up becoming the newest Robin.
I'd be okay with that. That'd be interesting. Jones 25 full Signalman / Blue Bowman is due for a Catman-like redemption.
Right.
One of the few villains to give up a Batman shtick for a Green Arrow one is super interesting.
Yeah, I've said time and time again, there is something with Signal Man, and I love his costume and the fact that no one has dug any deeper. The problem is that his mania is very much like low-rent Riddler. Like, I'm obsessed with symbols and symbology. And it's like, well, if I had a story for that, I'd just do a Riddler story.
It would be harder to sell, yeah. But I do like the idea, but I do admire it. I'm like, yeah, no, that's neat. George J. returns to say, I've always had a soft spot for the animated series villains, Lock Up and Roxy Rock. It'd be interesting to see them turn good. I mean, it'd be nice to see them do anything, but yes, Roxy is always one step away from being like an anti-hero.
Mm-hmm. And like, again, I have always had such love and admiration for Lock Up because I think his gimmick is so perfectly retro Batman, obsessed with bondage and keys and locks and everything.
Yeah, and making him into like a prison guard who's just been like disaffected by the system, being like, this place is a revolving door. Like, no.
Yeah, and have him be like this dirty, hairy guy. Like, again, in a day and age now where, you know, the prison industrial complex is more fucked up than it's ever been, you have nothing to say with Lock Up.
Right. Avery Trujillo says, isn't Captain Cold a hero? Did they resolve that story? I don't know.
He goes back and forth.
He goes back and forth. As I understand it, I look at Snark as being just a massive piece of crap at all times.
It's true.
Nick Smith, how about a holiday killer returns and the GCPD work with Two-Face to discover the identity, only to be revealed that Holiday is Andrea Beaumont. Yeah, good old Andrea Beaumont. I mean, she did come back in the Batman Catwoman series.
That's true. I forgot that. Holy shit. Though, is that in continuity? Is she really in canon or is she not?
Whatever.
It's up in the air.
I don't consider Batman Catwoman to be in canon. At all.
Oh, well, there you go. I did have a Two-Face pitch, and I'm actually really proud of this Two-Face pitch.
Yeah.
So Two-Face joins the Doom Patrol, and he starts working with Crazy Jane to go into his own underground to resolve his issues with his darker half.
Oh, great. Yeah.
because she has 100 split personalities, he has one, and it completely turns Harvey's life around. Maybe he even gets surgery to fix the other half of his face. It's like, wow, you know, you Doom Patrol guys do such good work, and you're so, you know, unrespecting everything. We need to take what you guys are doing, and we need to bring it to Gotham is what we need to do. We need to start helping people. And of course, because this is, you know, a Batman story, shit needs to get fucked up. I would say a bunch of criminals that Harvey worked with in the past, maybe prosecuted, all start winding up dead, cut completely in half, bisected. And it's all the work of a mysterious new serial killer called the Judge.
Yay!
Because in fixing his darker half, Harvey ended up actually releasing another more evil third personality who is jumping around in people's bodies via the underground, and it's up to Harvey and the Doom Patrol to stop him.
That's fun. Yeah, I love that. Harvey joining the Doom Patrol is a great opportunity to have the Doom Patrol kind of like mucking around Gotham, and you can see from another vantage point. Like, we know what Gotham looks like through the view of the villains, the heroes, etc., but like from a group like the Doom Patrol, who are a group of misfits, seeing a broken city like Gotham, like, I feel at home here.
Absolutely. And I mean, just Harvey in the underground, where it's like, if Jane can make peace with her personality, surely, Harvey, you can make peace with your one personality.
Right. Tevye suggested Deadshot Kid becomes new Deadshot.
Oh, yeah. What happened to her dad? Oh, yeah. What happened to Deadshot's kid? The end of the Taylor run.
I know nothing about that.
Yeah, Deadshot had a kid. Well, he always had a kid, a daughter, but yes. The daughter actually became, like, made her own Deadshot costume and everything.
Right? No, that's interesting. I know nothing about that. I'm not.
It was very adorable. It was the Tom Taylor run. It was only, like, a couple volumes.
Okay.
Also, Deadshot died at the end of that and has stayed dead.
Yeah, okay, there you go. So you can play with that a little bit.
No one's in any rush to resurrect Deadshot, which is a shame.
Yeah. Catler would have been for treats. What if Arkham Therapy worked on Zazz? Yeah. Screw Zazz.
The best Zazz story was the one they just did in Batman and Robin, where some kid thought he was his dad, but he wasn't. And Zazz is like, I'm going to kill you anyway. I'm Zazz. Right. I'm not very complex.
I'm not a complex person. I kill people. I cut the notch into my flesh to signify your death. I also like, he's like, there's no way. There's no way that
I'm not like that.
Yeah, there's no way that I had a kid.
Yeah.
I'm very careful.
He is. Shockingly, of all the things, as is, he's very careful when it comes to contraception.
Well, he's meticulous.
Absolutely.
And Juwan Fincher, Lady Shiva finally changes her ways and becomes part of her daughter's life. Lady Shiva is always like, that's a fun character that is rarely utilized.
Right.
And I love that concept of like Lady Shiva kind of like doing something. Absolutely. I don't have a good pitch for her, but I mean, I'll take the idea of her just.
I mean, she could totally be a bird of prey.
Yeah, big time.
Especially this new, like, more serious incarnation of the Birds of Prey.
Totally. Well, it's always a morphing cast now. Like, the Birds of Prey book is like, change up the cast a little bit. Although I'm glad to see, at least in this most recent issue of Birds of Prey, Big Barda stayed.
Yay.
Good. What else you got? What other villains need to break good in this world? I mean, obviously, Catwoman doesn't count. The One Bad Day thing, I was like,
yeah,
that book sucked. And also, it's a real shit. That was a real downer.
I had such high hopes for that one. Again, so many ideas where it's like, you needed another month to cook with this. There was a lot of ideas here that never quite came to fruition.
Very quick point. George J says Prometheus doing a face turn would be interesting, especially if Bat and Arrow families are involved. Ain't he still dead?
Yeah, and wasn't the one we had, was he even the real? I remember Midnighter had a Prometheus, but I don't think they ever named which one it was, because there's the real Prometheus, then there was a fake one that was running around, too.
Yeah. But I like the idea of Prometheus trying to be a hero, and Batman and Green Arrow being like, no.
Not on our life.
Yes. What else we got?
I had a Mr. Freeze pitch, actually, that I was also pretty proud of. So, obviously, as we said before, Mr. Freeze is in a really weird position because he's almost too sympathetic sometimes, and Batman kind of feels like a jerk for trying to stop him, and it's like, well, geez, either he fixes his wife or he doesn't. What the hell are you doing here? So my idea is, you know, we need to find something else for Mr. Freeze to do, and I had a pitch that was ironically inspired by Breaking Bad. He's breaking into a factory trying to steal chemicals to save Nora, and he ends up running into another guy who is stealing the same chemicals to try and save his girlfriend, who is sick, not dying, but sick. She's in early stages of McGregor syndrome. And Victor's like, get the fuck out of my way, man. I'm doing this. Like, no, I have to save my girlfriend. You know, she has McGregor's. He's like, what stage? Stage one? It's fucking nothing. I will go and fix her right now if you get out of my goddamn way. And this guy is amazed, like, oh my God, you can cure early stage McGregor's. Even the pharmaceutical companies aren't there yet. And Victor's like, yeah, I'm a fucking expert at this. I've been working my whole life. You mean people are interested in this? He's like, yes, we're part of a whole like internet support group of people with McGregor syndrome. And Freeze is like, yeah, I can do it. Yeah, I'll help you guys right now. And he does. And like basically a whole small community ends up adopting Mr. Freeze, and they help him steal what he needs to cure McGregor syndrome. And doing so, he ends up catching the ire of the drug company, where it's like, hey, this guy is giving this away for free. Can't have that. So yep. You have Batman in a weird position where it's like, so do I stop Mr. Freeze, who is saving people's lives, and defend the drug companies? What am I doing here? And of course, the drug company hires assassins. You know, they send Deathstroke and Lady Vic after him. So maybe Batman even teams up with Mr. Freeze to fight them off.
Absolutely. No, yeah. I love that idea. That's great. That's a fun, like people's hero, Mr. Freeze kind of idea. Mm.
And of course, the guy who Freeze ends up adopting reminds him a lot of himself. He's basically his own Jesse Pinkman. And he sees the love forged between this guy and his girlfriend. It's like, oh, that reminds me of Nora. And by the end, he's like, you know, I think I'm ready to finally let her go is the thing. Now there's she was my life, but there's more life out there to live. And, you know, I am ready to let in the warmth finally.
There we go. I like that a lot. That's Mr. Freeze lends himself to like really good pitches, man.
Right.
It's a real shame he's like so underutilized most of the time.
And so stuck in his ways, where it's like, but he's so cool as a bad guy though. But his story is almost, you know, you don't want to make him a bad guy.
No, it's true. J.R. Gomez says, a tale of two Batmen. Damian Wayne as incorporated JL Batman, as Cassandra Cain as Batman of Gotham. Ooh. Would end it with Damian as Terry's mentor.
Oh,
okay. Yeah, this isn't necessarily a breaking good story, but it is a pitch for Batman Beyond, love Batman Beyond.
It's true. And I mean, I would prefer Damian as the leader of Batman Inc. than that short-lived Ghostmaker.
What a freaking weird.
Oh, they pushed him. They gave him a sure hard did. Push.
Game and action figure too. No thanks. Didn't buy it. Matthew Chilaga, thank you for your generosity. Baby doll, sick of being in Gotham and being a freak. And Livingstock moves to Metropolis and there meets and falls in love with Toy Man. She's found someone who accepts her as she is, and they met a Superman together.
Aww.
I like that idea. It's cute. It also is a little creepy.
Yeah, it is.
Exploring the love for Baby doll is like, why does Toy Man like her?
Because she's like a toy. There, I said it.
Okay.
I came out and said it.
That's better than her being a child. I was going to say, I like the idea of her just using her voice and being like, she's a podcaster or a radio personality,
right.
But I think that's great. I mean, like, listen, her teaming up with Toy Man is fun. That's not necessarily, she's not a good guy, but making her a Superman villain is fun.
Very, because Superman's like, I am afraid of hurting you. I am so afraid of hurting you. I am so powerful and you are so small.
Plus, yeah, I do get the thing, Baby Doll, Toy Man. Yeah, that's fun. That's a cool concept.
Yeah, well, how have they never done that team up before? Also, does Baby Doll exist in the main continuity?
I don't know. See, that's the thing. I don't remember her ever being introduced in the comics, but like, why not?
She's also a character who has like one excellent episode with one heart-shattering finale, and then one kind of so-so follow-up.
Oh, with Killer Croc?
Yeah, where they're like, well, what if we kind of make her a Harley, where you feel bad for her because she's in an abusive relationship, but then she also gets one over on Croc at the end, being like, nah, I'm actually just as bad as you.
Yeah. And he's like, what? This is weird.
Yeah, which kind of defeats, you know, the whole sympathy thing, where it's like, nah, I actually have like such a villainous mind.
Yeah. It looks like she came up in White Knight, Lil Gotham, and Batman Ninja Turtles.
Okay, so a lot of out-of-continuity stories.
Yeah.
So they've never quite brought her. Again, because it's such a weird sell, and it really only works the one time. Great, the one time it worked.
Yeah. Jones 25 full, Maxi Zeus is visited by actual Zeus and finds religion.
I mean, he exists in this universe with Wonder Woman. Maxi Zeus just needs to go hang out with the Wonder Woman book for a bit.
I feel like Zeus would be like, ugh, that guy.
Yeah, Jesus.
That fanboy, I hate that guy.
Diana, punch him for me.
Jose says, Calendar Man feels that the seasons are getting shorter and must fight the Clock King, who has been stealing time from Gotham.
Oh, there's something there. There's something there.
I mean, you could turn Calendar Man into a friggin', you know, climate change hero who, like, is, you know, just like, you're changing the seasons. Everything's changing. It's happening too fast. No.
Yeah, again, there's something there. I don't
know. Yeah, there's something there. I like pitting up two borderline unsellable villains and putting them in one, but maybe they, their combined power
together, they'll cancel out.
We'll cancel out or double up, you know.
A character we haven't talked about yet, Clayface. I had a Clayface pitch for Basil Carlo.
Yes.
So this is pretty obvious to me. He goes back to Hollywood to try and restart his career, and he does so in the most interesting way possible. He helps a bunch of young student filmmakers make their cheapo monster movie by using his skills, being like, yeah, you know, I'm a makeup master, wink. Now I can actually just turn myself into monsters and freaks to help your movie and give you, like, super high production quality.
Absolutely. No, I mean, honestly, the concept of him, like, going full special effects and just being like, so I don't have to, it was something that was in the cartoon where it was like, why aren't you just working for Hollywood anyway? You could become anyone. You could save them so much money. You could be most of the cast.
Absolutely. And then, you know, we build out from there and we make it a meditation on modern Hollywood where Basil Carlo's like, well, I used to be a bad dude when I was in this town. I ran in bad circles, and we have thinly veiled David Zaslavs and thinly veiled, you know,
Harvey Weinsteins.
Yeah. Harvey Weinsteins, where Basil's like, I used to know these guys. I used to run with these guys, and now they're making this town worse, and they're, you know, trying to kill my friends here in this small indie production. You know, I can't stop them, but Clayface can stop them. So you call it Clayface Hollywood Hero.
That's the book. Like, the book is absolutely that, where it's like Clayface starts out as like, I don't want to, I'm not fighting anybody, I'm not doing anything, and then the Hollywood system attacks them and he's like, I will use my powers to mess them up. Obviously Harvey Weinstein knows people, you could do another contract kind of thing where it's like,
absolutely,
you know, you pushed it, you put powers into this, now I gotta, now I gotta hire somebody with powers to fight you, maybe King Shark or something, I don't know.
Absolutely. And you know, I thought of an amazing scene you ended where, you know, he corners Harvey Weinstein guy in his office and he uses his powers to take the form of all your victims, of all the starlets and all the careers you've ruined. Look upon my face, Harvey Weinstein guy. And everyone's like, it was Basil's greatest performance.
Yes, exactly. I love that.
And he did it only for one person, one night only.
No, and then he becomes the Weinstein character and then confesses to all the things he did on the internet.
See, look, this writes itself.
Yeah, it really does. By the way, that One Bad Day Clayface book was also incredible. Zermanico's art was fantastic. And,
I didn't actually read that one, actually.
Oh, man. No, it is Basil Goes to Hollywood. And it's Colin Kelly and Jackson Lansing. It feels very inside baseball Hollywood.
Of course.
You'd
would have to be.
Exactly. No, but like, these are people who have been there, so they know. And it's like, it's really cool. They really nailed it. Let's see here. Juan Fincher, Roxy Rocket becomes an astronaut.
Sure. Joins the space program.
Yeah.
She could be an agent of something. She could join the DEO. She could join Argus and like no one would bat an eye.
Roxy Rocket could be revealed to be like in Waller's employ for the U.S. government in the current Green Arrow / Dawn of DC events. And no one would be surprised. Like, yeah, like, using her in any way. I can't believe they had her almost have like an orgasm in the cartoon itself.
Yeah, they did.
I was like, what is happening?
Yeah, they
just, like,
did.
Just that was just like, you could feel Bruce Timm being getting more power.
I've never felt more powerful.
Avery Trujillo, I would like to see them give Deathstroke a lead Titans another chance. I feel like it was too short last time and they could have done more with it.
I mean, they did it twice. He led the Terror Titans and then he led his other team in the Christopher Priest run, which was basically all the also-ran Titans who didn't get the spotlight. And yeah, I agree. That was a good run and it was short-lived.
Yeah, yeah. Deathstroke running any kind of team would be cool.
Very.
You know, it doesn't have to be a hero team. This could just be, you watch Deathstroke like lead a group of people where he's like, I know how to run shit. Like, I'm good at this.
He's another guy who they've tried to sympathize and they've tried to, and it's just so hard because it's like, dude, you're a sex offender, dude.
Yeah, exactly.
You hurt children both literally and figuratively your entire life. You are the worst. That's why I like that Christopher Priest run so much, because it's like, no, villainous protagonist. I'm not even going to bother to try and make him good. And even when we do make him good, it's because he literally got inverted, and even he's like, God, being good sucks. This is hard.
It's hard. And my natural impulse is not this.
Yeah, I don't like this.
Robert Kaur is a good point. He says, Scarecrow out of his depth space adventure as a Yellow Lantern could be Training Day meets Blackest Night. That'd be kind of fun.
Okay, I'm glad you had something for Scarecrow, because the last two I could not crack was Scarecrow and Mad Hatter, because they're weirdo creeps who are so self-centered, and like it's very hard to turn their powers for good. But yeah, sending Scarecrow to space to be a Yellow Lantern is something, because if Sinestro can kind of be a good guy sometime, maybe he can end up, you know, extending that olive branch to Crane.
Totally. I mean, I love the idea of making Crane into a spacefaring, reluctant, like fish out of water type character. I would also be okay with him just using fear. I mean, Batman essentially is Scarecrow, but a superhero. Like, he uses fear to scare the criminal element, but you make it more personal. Like, you don't make it necessarily the Scarecrow's a hero. You just have, like, it's an intimate Scarecrow story about, like, Scarecrow seeing a character that reminds him of himself, and he uses fear to, like, help him out or her out. And I could easily see a story where, like, Crane is... you do a whole, and the animated series angle was always good at this, where they were like, well, this is a hospital, you are free now.
Yeah.
So like Crane leaving and kind of like getting a job in some academia, obviously he wouldn't, but it's a fictional comic book universe, so bear with me for a moment, but like, you know, he works in community college and he's doing, you know, the like it's the lowest form for him, you know, it's like he's got to start over completely from scratch, but like, you know, he's got his doctorate.
And then the budget cuts start coming from a bunch of spineless, corrupt bureaucrats. And he's like, I will show them fear.
You could do that. I was thinking like, you know, but he takes on like, you know, he's got a student body. He's got one kid. She's really good at what she does. He sees a lot of promise in her. Like, he's better than this place. And so is she. And so I'm going to put special attention on her. And then like, you can see that she's being intimidated by people in her own class. And so he gets involved. Right. And then, you know, she flips the tables on him and she's like, I don't need your, like, I don't want you to help me. And he's like, I'm obsessive. That's what I do. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You know? And then like, it becomes that she's like, you know, she kind of becomes like, she's like you know, your fear is so one dimensional, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. You could also do maybe an Arkham pitch where he actually gets a job as a new counselor at Arkham. And the idea is, I have, you know, jerry-rigged and changed my fear gas. Now it's not about bringing in your darkest, worst fears. Now it's about helping you face your fears. And through therapy, we're going to do fear immersion therapy and come out the other end of it, you know, where you're not scared of the thing you're scared of anymore. Scarecrow now helps you overcome fear.
Yeah, I kind of love that. I mean, Batman uses Scarecrow's own fear toxin usually to fix his own problems. So yeah, I kind of love it.
Yeah, face your fears with Jonathan Crane this summer.
Yeah. Yeah. And you said Mad Hatter. Mad Hatter's a tough one, too.
He's so weird.
I don't know if I actually necessarily have a Mad Hatter as the protagonist thing, but Mad Hatter being a, like, use it in a support role, obviously working for Amanda Waller in Mind Control. You know, like, what? I need you to miniaturize your mind control devices.
Yeah, that's the problem, because it's mind control, and it brings up a lot of really uncomfortable questions about consent, and he's, you know, obsessed with young blonde women named Alice. There's a lot of ick with Jervis that you need to deal with.
It's true. And what you do, you just don't. Like, you know what I mean? You just lean into it. You go like, okay, he works with the CIA now, or whatever department, like, you need to put him into Task Force X. But, you know, I think he's actually been in Task Force X or Suicide Squad, but like
he was on the Secret Six for like a hot minute.
Secret Six. There you go. But like, yeah. And the problem is he's too obsessive and he's just off the deep end and you never get enough out of him.
True. I had half an idea that wasn't quite there. And my idea is like, okay, let's maybe try and bring it back to his childhood when he wasn't so bad. Maybe he was part of like a Stranger Things, Dungeons and Dragons LARP group. And that was like the only time he was ever really happy because they lived in fantasy, but he took it too seriously. And many years later, one of his old friends from school ends up dying under mysterious circumstances. So he reunites everyone, kind of parlor mystery, to try and get to the bottom of the murder and try and figure it out, because obviously, you know, someone in this room is the killer.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good use of Mad Hatter.
He turns it into a game and it's like, you know, one of you is the killer and, you know, using my powers, I'm going to make you confess. But that's like one story. That's not like a whole new status quo. He did one good thing one time when he felt selfishly, you know, connected to something.
There you go. I mean, that's one bad. That's one good day. That's the book. It's the one time. Yeah, that's your one. There you go.
Yeah, fair enough.
Last Starfighter, you got to scroll back, my friend. Build up a third personality for Two-Face as Judge and Vigilante on a better path.
We were there.
A little bit about that. So you were on the same page, my friend. You are not far off. Adam Thenhouse, Croc and Bane joined Gotham Championship Wrestling as a tag team, the Teeth and the Beef.
GCW.
That's funny. I like that a lot. They have a big history together. That'd be kind of fun to see.
That would be.
Chaotic Chris, Penguin's dying of cancer, builds a cancer hospital as his final legacy. I like that idea. He's died of cancer before.
Fake
cancer. But I love the idea of him using his wealth as a kind of like attempt to put his name over all the Wayne stuff that's happening.
Be like, I'm the hero this city actually needs. I'm the one who can actually make sweeping reform with my money.
Yeah, Penguin becoming just a philanthropist.
Yeah, he becomes like Nucky Thompson. He's throwing turkeys out of vans and stuff.
Mm-hmm. I kind of love that. Yeah.
There's definitely something there you could do with that for sure. I mean, hey, history is dotted with lots of crime figures who also arguably did some good. Look, you know, all the mobsters during World War II. Even that new Captain America book is like, you know who was kind of cool? Meyer Lansky.
Right. That's a good book.
It is.
But yeah, man, it's obviously villains lend themselves to, if good villains or even like villains with potentially lend themselves to a story where they can become their own protagonists, and you can angle it to a point where they actually are good in their own stories, especially if you focus only on them and from their perspective.
Especially Batman villains who are so three-dimensional anyway, and who have so much of their characters rooted in the human condition.
Exactly. So, I mean, this is an idea that has endless potential. We touched upon most of the biggest ones. We even gave Joker a chance to be cool. But there's so much more. And I especially want to thank our super chatters our chat for making your own suggestions and giving your own ideas. I love how creative you guys are. It's fantastic to see. Thank you so much for your great ideas. I'm going to just gobble them up and then make money off of them. Ah, but no, this is great. And a lot of fun. And I really applaud Joel for like spearheading this concept and for really giving us a lot of pitches and for letting me just kind of muck around with them a little bit. Thank you so much for being here, man. Thank you all for being here and for your support, for your sponsoring today's show. If you want to help us out, watch the shows when they're live. Like, watch it when it's done. Click the like for it helps us out somehow. I don't know why. Hit the bell for notifications and, subscribe. It really helps us out. So stick around for more. And if you haven't already, you should definitely watch all the other shows we do here and over on youtube.com/CapeJoel.
Thank you.
So check him out as well. And we'll see you guys next week with another episode. So long, everybody.
Bye-bye.